Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Jasari's Love Show.
I am your host, Cynthia Jahi, known as Jasari's Love. And in the future, you'll just be hearing pretty much the Jasari's Love part. I am so gracious, so grateful, so exhilarated, so happy to be on the air this week. I have to commend any and everybody that is able to keep their commitments to be on their TV shows, their radio shows, their blog talk shows, and any other form of communication when they're doing it on a regular basis and they're committed. I'm going to send a shout out to a young lady that I know named Zaya Webb. She's in the company that I'm a part of, which is Sarah 365. And I just got to say hats off to this young lady because she's always posting that particular show on a regular basis. And, you know, we've watched the Oprah show, which is a huge, huge show, and all the work that she's done. And there's so many other people out here who have had the commitment to be able to be a voice that's heard that is out there to give people information or to host other people. That's what Ms. Dial Webb does, actually. And so I just wanted to say that. I also want to give a huge, huge, huge thank you to my husband, to Baba, to Tawi, Kiangozi Jahi, and the love of my life so much for creating the home-based business 101 platform. The one thing in particular when it comes to business that I absolutely love about my husband is once he decides something, he stays committed. Now, this particular show, there have been some ups and downs. There have been a couple of times where you all, the listening audience, know there has been some breaks in him and I being on the show. But overall, in my 30 years of marriage to him and my year and a half of seeing each other before we got married and building a friendship and a relationship and a business partnership, he's always had a very high level of commitment. And trust and believe, anybody that can be committed to allowing his wife, or not so much as allowing, but being a partner with me and encouraging me to be able to have like 30 children in our house on Wildwood Parkway and dance in theater, especially on Saturdays from as early as 10 in the morning. Sometimes it was 9 in the morning, but sometimes Saturday, 7 o'clock in the evening. That's a very flexible husband to have, very flexible and very loving and very encouraging and very then also involved in the process. He liked to do the theater part. He liked to work with the boys, teaching the African boot dance, talking about business. Even way back then, he had books by Dennis Kimbrough and George Frazier. And so, and also his friend, there's another gentleman, George Sabira. And so these are all different authors. Please pick up their books that my husband would engage the children with. And I'm talking about as young as 5 years of age. And so I wanted to just give a shout out to him. We have been married for 30 years. And you know that, or you may not know, in order to be married for 30 years, you have to have peace. You have to have peaceful ways of resolving your situation. At least that would be the way to have a happy marriage anyway. There are people who have marriages that they last 30 years, 40 years, 50 years, and one party or the other may not be happy, but in this particular case, I'm a happy camper and he's a happy camper. Okay, so with that said, I just want to say thank you. Welcome to the Jasari's Love Show. I am excited for another Friday, and today is, I believe I have my date right, April the 14th. And what makes it so exciting is to be able to share my point of view, my life experience with you, with other people. And hopefully I'm praying that will resonate with some people and may wake up some thoughts and patterns in your mind. It may be some new, it may introduce some new thoughts to you. It may also, maybe you've given up on some things, and maybe you don't think there's any hope, and maybe it will shed a ray of hope out there for you. My topic today, and it's going to be my topic for a while, and when I say a while, probably for the next couple of months, because it's just that important to me, this topic of peace. And it's very important to me that we consciously, intentionally pray for peace. We understand what it means to have peace and spell the word P-E-A-C-E, that we do our part, that we even know what is the part that we can do for peace. And for this month and for the rest of this month, in which I have two more weeks, then I will be concentrating on your personal peace and how that should flow out. It should be inside, but how you can eventually get that flow out to your spouse, to those people close to you. So if you're married, it could be your spouse. If you're not married, it could be just friends, your close friends, associates, your soulmate. It may be your parents, children, other relatives. But it's got to start consciously within you. And I am asking you, first of all, for permission to hear me and to listen to what I'm saying, for me to be able to say these things to you. I'm asking you for that. When I ask you for permission, that is a way of offering peace, because I'm not trying to push it on you. I'm asking you, could you stop for a minute and listen to this message? Also, this is recorded, so let's say you're busy and it's too much at one time. Listen to the parts you can, and then come back to me later so you can pick up some more information. I do advise you to take notes, because if you don't have some of these things in your life, or if you're not even aware of any of this here, it will probably behoove you, be a good idea for you to write some things down. I have the level of peace that I have right now because, as I have told you in the past, and I don't mind repeating it, I have been so blessed to be living in a household, being raised by parents who were the epitome of what peace was, okay? And I still have my mom. She's 90 years old. I have all my brothers and sisters, thank God. I have four brothers and one sister, and we had peace in our home, and we were blessed to have peace in our block that we lived on. There's only two places as a child. That was 1709 Rosedale Street in Baltimore, Maryland, and 3233 Westmont Avenue in Baltimore, Maryland. That's West Baltimore. And I was blessed to have peace in the schools that I attended, but it also is the period that I came through. My other brothers and sisters, my elders, had already fought for a lot of, a lot of civil rights things. So that may have also allowed there to be a certain level of peace, because a lot of their battle was done what? You know, all through slavery. Our ancestors that fought for slavery, that endured a lot of pain. Reconstruction, 1900s, 1950s. All the battles that were fought, 1960s, and I was born in 1956. So some level of peace has been fought by other people, and they had to have their own psychological way, their safety net of creating peace within themselves. Frederick Douglass had to find a way to create peace within himself. Harriet Tubman had to find a way to create serenity and peace in the midst of the utmost fear of being on those trails, walking alone as a black woman, an actual runaway slave. And then once you became free, a person with a price tag on her head, how do you put peace into your mind when you're running for your life, or you're running with 20 other lives and there's a price tag on your head? So there's a lot of different ways that we can go with this, and I will be going in different directions. And you will be hearing from a lot of different guests as time goes on with this here. You will also have the opportunity to hear from people just off the street. I'm going to line up folks, and I'm just going to stop. They will probably not be just randomly. They will be people that I will ask them for permission to do a short interview with them on peace and what they feel is the part that they do to contribute to peace. And you will hear interviews from my family and friends as well. But I want to have a pretty good mixture of people that you can hear from, for you know, give them that 5 good minutes that they can actually speak, but they will know ahead of time so that they can really prepare themselves to know exactly what they want to talk about and what they want to say. So that's going to be important too. Okay, again, this is Home Based Business 101. This is just the Jastari's Love Show. It's a part of Home Based Business 101 that was created by Baba Sitali Jahi, who is also your tax guru, and you can look forward to hearing from him on Sunday morning at 9 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. And my time is Eastern Standard Time also. Mine is Friday afternoon, 3 o'clock Eastern Standard Time is the Jastari's Love Show. Okay, so it's a lot of, like I said, exciting things that are happening, and then there are a lot of bombers out there. You know, there's a lot of, you know, crazy things happening in the world, depending on your perspective and depending on how things are affecting you in life. So let me get back to this topic and just kind of flow with it. You all know that I have my songs, and no, I'm not going to sing them. There's a song that I think I will sing, though. Now, I look at life like some other folks look at it. I'm not going to say I'm different from everybody else. That's why sure there's a few little handful of people out there that look at it like I do. And that is, you know, I know that when I attend different churches, and these maybe Christian churches, and the people back in the day when I was coming up just wanted you to join their church. Oh, please join my church. It's White Stone Baptist Church. Join my church. But through the years, I've noticed that people are more open. And they are saying, you know, please join a church, join a good, you know, Christian church. And in that congregation, especially if I've gone to Wednesdays in Rocky Mount, I know I went to Hour of Prayer, Sweet Hour of Prayer. And there we had a variety of different, I guess if, all of them were Christian, but different parts of that, but apostolic, you know, Methodist, you know, what have you, Baptist, you know, Holiness, you know, all of that. So anyway, so but what I want to say is the show is going to be open to all faiths, you know, people who have their way of expressing their love for the Creator. I'm hoping that I have Native Americans on the show. I'm hoping I have people from India that may be either Christian, Buddhist, or even Hindu. I'm happy that I have people from the Islamic, some people from the Nation of Islam, Catholic, you know, Jehovah's Witness. Just want to cover the some religions I don't even have heard of, you know, just to get a flavor of where people are coming from. So the song that I'm about to sing for you, and it's not so much as my voice as it is the words. It's just I don't know who the author was. I have to really do some deep research. This is a song I learned when I was probably 7 or 8 years old. You know, one of the songs is, you know, Jesus Loves You, This I Know. And the thing I like about that song is just the words, just teaching a child that somebody loves them, you know. And if you come from a household where your parents love you, mommy loves you, this I know, you know, because of all the things that she does, it tells me so, you know. Daddy loves me, this I know. Mom and Dad loves me, this I know. Because their actions tell me so. Okay, but there was a song, and it kind of went like this, so please bear with me. I am not a singer, okay? Do you know why the trees wake in springtime? Why each morning is sprinkled with dew? Only God has the answer to questions like these. But here are some questions for you. Do you know that your sins are forgiven? Do you know if you're ready for heaven? If the Savior should call, have you given your all? Do you know if your heart's right with him? Okay, so that's the end of the beginning of that song. You know, I love this song because it asks you about, do you know how these things wake up in springtime? And it's springtime. The trees are waking up. The leaves are coming on the trees. You know, the flowers are blue. My husband got a rocking garden in Rocky Mount, North Carolina, that's starting to buzz. And so many things awaken in springtime. Just life itself, seeing a newborn baby being born. And then the other half, depending on what your faith is, you know, do you think you're going to go to a good place? Whatever you can, whatever your conception of a good place, heaven, what's heavenly? You know, do you know that you can be forgiven for different things? And I know every religion has their own way. You know, some are not as forgiven as others. But just the idea of wanting to think about those things, and in relationship to that, just thinking about something that is a loving and peaceful type of song. As I mentioned before, some of my other songs are different. Only the Strong Survive, that was a song that I liked that got me through my teenage years. Not that I had a bad teenage year, but I just liked that song, you know. And I always thought about if I could just be stronger, I could make it. I'd get those A's in those class, you know, projects and my spelling and things like that. Then, of course, Over the Rainbow. I love the version by Izzy, as well as I love Patti LaBelle. All her versions are different. And What the World Needs Now is Love. The Impossible Dream, I changed it to The Possible Dream. Overcoming things is so, so important to be able to overcome. So today, you know, last week, you know, I talked about different things, you know, that Iyanna Van Zandt had written, very important things, getting through the valley. The valley, you're going to spend time in the valley, and I think people need to recognize when they're in the valley, very important. Today, some songs are The Smile Song by Kirk Franklin, Be Happy by Pharrell Williams, but also Kurt Franklin has a song about being happy. And then my thing is, you know, be love. Just know that you are love. Be love and be peace, okay? You be it, okay? Do your part to bring peace. So one of the things that I do to give myself inner peace is there's candle time. Candle. The time that you sit down with a candle. I have a candle burning now. And some people look at people who have candles and say, oh, they're weird. You know, they got candles. Oh, yeah, they got these candles. But I'm going to tell you, once you get by yourself, because it's a privacy thing, and you carefully light your candle, and think of a safety way to do your candle, people, okay? So you don't set things on fire. But, you know, get your candle or candles. You can get a candle at the dollar store. I mean, it's not such a big deal as to where you get your candle from. Now, as we, you know, increase our perception on certain things, you may want some candles made by someone who made it with love. There are people who put their heart and soul into what they make. They put a lot of feeling into it. So you may have some candles you may want to purchase from someone in particular. But having that candle time where you just sit in a room that could be dark, it is the scent of the candle as well as when the darkness is just the peace and the stillness. Just do that for 5 to 15 minutes. You may not can do that every day, but find a day and allow yourself to enjoy that feeling. That should be a time that you're not expecting an important phone call. Well, turn your phone off, okay? When we do certain things, it's very important that we intentionally make the decision that we want peace and calmness and that we can turn off those devices so that we can have that. There should be no TV, no radio. There should be absolutely just you, the candle, and silence and maybe darkness. Find a comfortable place to sit. It could be on a floor, on a rug. It could be in a chair. It could be on a little stool. It could be on your bed. It could be sitting on your bed with your back propped up against the pillow, feet propped up. You got the candle off to the side on a nice, sitting on the stand with security. You know, only thing falling over. Maybe keep some water nearby. But anyway, just getting calm. And again, taking a deep breath. And holding it for a few seconds and then blowing it out. And you'd be surprised how calming that is as you gaze into this light and you're thinking love and peace. And you can say things like, it is my heart's desire, dear Creator. Call out whatever you call your Creator. If it's Jesus, if it's Allah, if it's God, if whatever it is for you, you know, whatever it is for you, you call that out and you are aware, you are intentionally aware of what it is that you're doing. And that's important. And you want, you're saying to yourself, I just want peace. My heart, well, let's get rid of the word want. My heart's desire. We're going to use the word heart's desire for everything in place of the word want. And every time you think about what you need, what you want, replace those words with heart's desire. It's my heart's desire to be peace, to think of peaceful ways of resolving anything that needs to be resolved, to be calm, to find ways to do things calmly. And when you make that a part of even your vision board, it will change your life. Putting yourself in a place of peaceful other people. When you come upon a scene and you see people that are argumentative, whether they're talking on the cell phone, telling someone how they beat someone up, how they ran somebody out of something, you know, you may have to step back a ways so that your space does not get harmed by these vicious verbal attacks that these people think that they can do, and they do them everywhere, on the bus stops and wherever you happen to be, hopefully not in your home. Oh, my God, please. It is so important. Now, as you seek peace, you have to do that in a peaceful fashion. You can't go laying everybody, look, I'm trying to have a peaceful meeting, y'all go shut up. No, that's not a good way to do that, because now you've sent out chaos and confusion and anger. So you have to say, I'm stepping down the basement for a little bit to have a few moments of quiet and peace. And so for the next 15 minutes, you know, I don't want anybody to come and get me. I'm stepping into my bedroom. I don't suggest the bathroom if you've got like 8 people in the house or 5 people. Somebody's going to need that. Oh, boy. But just go to a place that you can. Your back porch, your front porch, in your car, wherever you can find peace. I used to go and find peaceful spots down in the Inner Harbor on Federal Hill. I could actually sit there, and I think I shared that for hours in peace. I didn't have a candle. I didn't need a candle. Just God's breeze, the clouds, the sun. Oh, my goodness, just so much peace. On the Glen Falls Trail, peace. Riding a bike with the children, believe it or not, there was peace. On the Glen Falls Trail, walking with my husband at Harper's Ferry. Now, you know, I'm talking nature walks now. It's a conscious thing, but if you have never done these things, you don't know what it is to have peace. Being able to peacefully be by yourself or with one other person. But you have to be able to be by yourself. It is so important to be able to have time that you feel comfortable being by yourself in a room, in your own house. I have heard so many people who say, can you come on over? Or what are you doing? Because I don't want to be in my house by myself. I don't like being by myself. And that may be true, that may be just the way you are, but fight to change that little part of yourself at least once a week, if not 3 times a week, if not every day for 15 minutes to be alone. I suggest really at least an hour or two, to be honest with you, to be able to be by yourself in silence and calmness and quietness. Now, I'm not talking about that you have to sit quietly the whole time. You could be 20 minutes soaking in a nice bathtub of lavender, you know, or peppermint water, just soaking your body and breathing in and have those candles. That's for male and female. We need peace. Sitting outside, giving yourself some peace, reading a book that's about things that are not, you know, too, not any drama at all, just a really good adventure story, maybe a historical piece. Reading something, maybe a good children's book, get some good laughs. Go back and read, you know, Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious. You know, go back and read Mary Poppins and Dr. Doolittle. Those are my favorite books. But peace, having some peace, consciously creating peace. It can be the Bible. If there's verses in there to give you peace, I highly suggest that you read that and you find another book to read. A famous author, you know, some beautiful Langston Hughes. There's some likes in his songs, I mean, poems that are very peaceful. There are dozens and dozens, and I don't know them all, authors who write sonnets of peace, sonnets of love, ballads, very beautiful, peaceful songs. Some of the songs that were written in the 60s and 70s, you know, very peaceful, loving, beautiful music. Music, piano music, I did tell you about that, guitar music, things that are calming and extremely peaceful. Very important that we do that consciously and decisively. Flowers, planting some flowers. Now, I actually planted some fake flowers last week, and it actually gave me peace, but let me tell you what it did. My mother's 90, and she looked out in the yard, and she saw this. I had painted the flower pots yellow, and I put these flowers in, and she didn't know who did it. All she knew was she said, "Oh, that is so beautiful. Who did that?" It gave my mother an exhilarating feeling of love and peace and looking at something lovely that made me feel good. And my brother saw it, and he liked it. My brother Raymond, my sister saw it, and she liked it. And my other brothers came in, Raymond, Terry, and Raymond was already there, Terry and Wayne and Maurice, and they like, "Who did this here? Man, it's so nice." You see? They weren't even real flowers. Imagine what the real flowers. My neighbor to my left have these beautiful flower pots of overflowing, beautiful purple and white flowers. I don't know what they are, but they are gorgeous, and they gave me peace. The young lady across the street has a garden, a vegetable garden in her backyard, in her front yard. She has a garden, and I watch her work in it, and it's so peaceful. But when I see her flowers, it gives me a sense of peace. When my husband and I walk in the garden, the one in Rocky Mount, it's peace. It's peaceful, except for when that big, huge spider the size of his hand came out. Now, that did scare me. That was not a peaceful moment. They kind of broke the peace. But there's peace, you know, otherwise. When I went on nature walks, actually was exercising with a group in Rocky Mount, North Carolina. We were walking, you know, speed walking. There was peace for me because what I did, I let everybody walk as far ahead of me. So they had me by like 2 blocks. They would look back. Well, actually, I couldn't keep up with them. They're pretty fast walkers. But they were kind enough to look back and check on me and everything. But what it gave me was an opportunity to enjoy the trees without any human beings in the way and the flow of peace. And I was talking to my creator for, like, most of that walk. I was saying, thank you for the breath. Thank you for the air. Thank you for the beautiful trees. Thank you for those squirrels. Thank you for the birds. Thank you for that worm that almost got on me that was hanging from whatever it was hanging from. You know, thank you for, you know, getting me out on this walk. Thank you for the people. See, it is taking those moments of peace. I did a couple of drives from Rocky Mount to Baltimore, and usually, you know, people can get up here in 5 to 6 hours. I mean, if you drive, you know, like I do, I'm like a speed limit kind of a stickler for, I might be 10, 15 miles over in some places, but usually I'm kind of close to it. I'm on 301. Hey, it's a peace ride for me, okay? It's an opportunity for me to give myself a breather, take my time. I have some things that I have packed to eat. I'm going to stop and buy some delicious things along the way. I'm going to maybe get a couple little cards for somebody. But I love driving like that, and I especially love that 6-hour drive because it's just pure bliss and peace for me. For those of you who may not know it, I crochet. Crochet is not for old people. It's an art form. It's a very relaxing thing. Anything that's painting and artsy, I do mosaic art. I do painting and crochet. It's peace. I've worked with children. I've given them a lot of freedom. And if you wanted to come past the Culture Center when we had it, I don't have it now, but you would see 20 children in the room at their stations painting whatever they wanted. Maybe sometime I had a theme, but we had peace. And it was so beautiful because these children were given unlimited time to paint. Let's say if we started with the group after lunch, especially in my after-school program, I had a lot more freedom to do that, then we could paint until it was time for them to leave. And if their parents weren't getting them until 5 or 6 o'clock, they could paint from 2 o'clock to 5 o'clock, and it would be intense. It would be quiet unless I played some, maybe some music, soft music. But is what we give each other and what we give, what we teach children, and it makes a huge difference. We have to conscientiously, deliberately give peace, do peace, be peace. Play peaceful music. It's a conscious, deliberately. Look for it. Search it out. You go after it very consciously. I get up sometimes at 3 o'clock in the morning, step outside, and do my stretches, and talk to my Creator. And it's so quiet outside in the neighborhood that I'm blessed to be in. I pray for other people who may not have that luxury. Praying for other people to have peace. Again, this is the Jasaris Love Show, a platform of the Home Based Business 101, created by my husband, Baba Sitaru Jahi. Been around for a while. His show, look for his show on Sunday mornings, 9 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, so you have to figure that out for your Pacific and mid, you know, whatever the, you know, other part of the country is at that time. My show is Fridays at 3 Eastern Standard Time. And the topic, again, is peace. So I'm moving about going up steps at the moment. So just give me a second. I need to do a time check. My telephone is not giving me the correct time. I'm still on my call. Okay, it's 3:30. I got 15 minutes. I'm going to ask my sister to let me know when it's 3:40. Okay, sister? It's my wonderful sister. And she's going to be another person I'll be interviewing on the topic of peace. We should be able to hear from her, hopefully, one day next week. A very simple statement, but it can be very intense. It can become very intense. We're talking about peace, being peaceful, and being loving, being very intentional about that. So one day, you know, I heard somebody, we were talking about, we were all doing like a little sleepover, and some cousins and different people and associates. And some people were, one of the ladies says, well, my certain person sleeps late, and I'll just take and kick them and wake them up. Okay, and so that was a moment, a teachable moment for me to, you know, kind of say, you know, you are kidding, right? You know, of course you're kidding, you know. And the person, no, they sleep real deep, and, you know, we want to get one up out of here, and I'm going to kick them. And I said, you know, hey, I said, this is a suggestion. May I have permission to make this suggestion? I almost think I used the word permission, but I didn't know anything about all that back then. I've gotten that from listening to some other people who do that, and I've learned from Yana and from wonderful, beautiful Yana Van Zandt and beautiful Lisa Nichols, who's a speaker. Both of them are speakers, life coaches and speakers. And that is, you know, asking permission. But sometimes people don't want to hear your suggestion. They really don't. But anyway, I went on and I said, you know, why don't you just, you know, we just say it's time to wake up, and I, you know, just nudge the person. And some people do get into very deep sleep, but sometimes you may have to nudge them a little bit more. And you may have to say, you know, hey, it is time to get up. Or maybe you have to play a piece of music. I don't know, because I didn't really have time to go deep into it, and I haven't had that problem with anybody personally, sleeping so sound that I get them up, you know, without, you know, maybe just doing some extra nudging. But I do find that I personally like to wake up in a calm way. I personally like to just wake up on my own, but I do realize there are times when we have time constraints and we need to wake up by a certain time. It's time to get them up and get going with your day. And, of course, when it's a group dynamic, you know, a group of us getting together, you know, and people have spent the night, we'd had an activity the night before, and it was a family and friends kind of situation, people kind of like a sleepover. Some people did not want to drive far. So, you know, when there's families involved, they want to get their loved ones up and get going for the day, get where they have to go for the next day. Still having that moment of being able to say, hey, you know, let's try this a different way. And that person did not kick their loved one. They were able to meet them a couple of times, and then they got, and everything was fine. Everything was fine. So, you know, being able to say thank you and please, I know some cultures don't really use that. They're very more like, move that over here, telling people what to do. But is being able to know the difference in cultures and being able to, the person is not meaning any offense, is that is the way they get things done. They're very direct in getting things done. And so it's learning about different people and the way that we all do things differently. In my household is thank you and please. And doing things so that everybody in your, you know, that's involved with you can feel special. There are times when some people may be making more money than others. There's times when people may be resources. They are resources, and we have to realize that this is a resource and be thankful and let them know in various ways that you're thankful. So if you, you know, if you're the one that cooks, then do it in a loving way. How you set the table, how you keep the house, how you keep your car, how you treat people when you have to go pick them up, being on time, the person being ready, as much as ready as they can be. It's the attitude. You know, some people pull up, they blow the horn like they're in a bloody rush, like, rah, rah, rah. Some people are consistently late, making everyone else late and making everyone have an attitude. It's so many different things that we do. Some people gobble all the food up and they don't think of other people. Some people never fix enough. Even though they have plenty, they're trying to hoard things and save it for themselves or other people. It's a conscientious thought about other people. I grew up in a household of eight, because I told you I had four brothers, one sister, and I had a mother and father. That makes eight of us. So we had to do some sharing and some patience. Nothing like waiting to get into the bathroom. It's nothing like being the first one to go in and it's cold. The house hasn't gotten warm yet. And it's learning how to maneuver through that. It's nothing like, you know, of course, after we figure some things out, you know, your parents saying, you know, you can stay in the bed a few minutes, get the house warm, turn the heat up a little bit. You know, I was always awakened in a loving way, and I'm so thankful. I know everyone has not had that experience. But we can give that experience to someone else. Say good night in a loving way. Hug each other good night. Say good morning in a loving way. Our mom is 90. She gets kisses on the forehead and a hug every day from all of us that are here. And there are four of us that get to be, see her almost, three of us get to see her almost every day. It's important that we do that. But it's done consciously, intentionally. We sit and listen to beautiful music together for a few minutes. We have a different schedule, I know, than a lot of people. But what I'm telling you is, carve out that time to do that. It is up to you to carve out that time to have that candlelight moment. Carve out the time. I know that my time is almost done for the day, and I'm going to go more into, you know, your relating with others and how that still affects you, your personal peace, okay? I'll be doing that next week. But I can't emphasize enough the nature walks. If you're not into going to the park or the woods, please, you don't have to go by yourself. Go when there's other people in the park or the woods. But if you live in New York City, oh, my God, I love Central Park. You know, I've heard there have been good things and bad things, but I, thank God, my daughter and I spent the summer up there, and we loved Central Park. We walked through Central Park probably 5 days out of the week. On the way back from our dance classes with the Albanelli dancers. And that is when, for the first time, I felt, you know, the still waters. I actually felt the still waters. And I must tell you that that is an absolutely beautiful feeling to actually feel the still waters. And say to yourself, this is what the person must have meant when they said, he needed me beside the still waters. Well, first of all, I lie down in green pastures. I've kind of changed the shepherd song for myself. Mine is, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall have my heart's desire. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. When you get to that central park and there's a part where there's this water that's just still, and the pastures, which is I would call the little valleys there through the park, you know, little parts, I just call them pastures, little grassy meadows and stuff. It is so peaceful and so calm. And believe it or not, just sitting there watching people that I don't even know play games of baseball. You could sit in some areas, there's three games going on in three different areas. You know, to my right, to my left, you know, and above me and below me, there's these games, these families, these communities. And there's these people on rollerblading through the park. And I'm walking, and it's beautiful and it's lovely. And in Baltimore, we have the Gwynn Falls Trail, and then we have the entire Inner Harbor where if you choose to, in your city, in your area, you could find peace. In D.C., there's the mall, and then there's all those areas with the museums. And within the museums, there's so many areas of just absolute blissful peace. Be a peace seeker. Be a peace giver. Be peace. This is Cynthia Jahi of the Jasari's Love Show. I love you. Make sure you listen out for tomorrow. And not tomorrow, I'm sorry. Sunday mornings at 9 o'clock with my husband, Sitali Kiongozi Jahi, a man of peace, a man of love, a man of integrity, a wonderful husband, a wonderful friend, my soulmate. I'm looking forward to another 30 years or more, him and I together. And listen out for me next Friday at 3 o'clock, from 3 to about 3:40, about peace. Be peace. Have a peaceful week. Every time something happens, take a deep breath. Breathe and hold it in and say, peace, be still. I'm going to be peace. I'm going to have peace. And you may have to do it 20 times, but work on it until you get your peace. Get your candles, get your Epsom salt, get your lavender, get a nice tub of nice hot water. Give yourself a 20-minute soak. Have peace. Again, the Jasari's Love Show, and there will be peace. Amen.